dangles down, probably this we would think would be the vine. But with grape trees, this is the vine, and this is the branch. And so when Jesus is talking about being the vine, he's talking about, I am this. And later on, he talks about the branches, and we'll look at that later. But that's very important to understand, because for the branches, this vine is the source of their life. If they're cut off from that vine, they'll wither and they'll die. The grapes will become raisins and raisins are gross. At least in our house. What Jesus says, right before he tells the disciples this, is he says in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the life. And then he says, I am the vine. What Jesus is emphasizing here is, I am the source of full and true life. He says later on in verses 5 and 6, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned, along with raisins. So this is what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I am the source of life for the branches. You are the branches, I'm the life. If you are cut off from me, if you don't have that connection with me, wither and you'll die. I want you to think about it like this. My wife, Sam, who's sitting right there, really loves flowers. If I one day am going, you know what? I really love Sam and I really want to show her I love her. I'll go to Metro and I will pick her up. Flowers. I'll give her a few flowers. If I really, really want her to be affirmed in the love that I have for her, I'll even go as far as ordering a bouquet of flowers and getting it delivered to her door. She's looking at me going, where is that? Where is that? If you really love my wife, you can get her flowers too, just don't get them. But what Sam also does is she takes her flowers and she ties them up after she's enjoyed their lovely scent, and she dries them out. And so if you come to our house, you'll see that our house has dried flowers all around it. All the flowers have a meaningful thing to them. I don't know all that she does. But there's this one bouquet of flowers that I absolutely hate. Not because it doesn't look good or anything like that. It looks great. But because Sam has decided to hang it right next to the window. It's like, here's the window, here's the flowers. And so every morning, if my coffee hasn't kicked in, I will fling open the blinds and the flowers will get hit. And because they're dry, they'll crumble and they'll fall apart and then Sam can add the mess. Be very careful in the mornings. But why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this because we are like flowers. We are like branches. When flowers are not rooted, when they're cut off from their roots, they may survive a little while, but eventually they dry out, they crumble, and they wither. And this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples in class today. If you are not connected to me, you will dry out. You will crumble. And you will wither. That's what he says right there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It may last a little while, but not for very long. In John 15, verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. So we've looked at the first part of our leaf year. You must have a connection to Jesus, the source of life. What about the second? This connection is an intimate one. Jesus, again in the first verse, continues and says, "My Father is the gardener." Now, in my research of grape growing, which is very limited, if you want a full separation between his words and who he is here. And that's very important and very, very crucial to understand. Because Jesus doesn't want you to just know about him. He wants you to know him. It's kind of like this. If you were to go to my Facebook profile picture, or not profile picture, my Facebook profile, you would see this. You would see a lot of things about me. You would learn a lot about me. You would learn, I clearly love my wife, not just because I give her flowers, but because she's in my profile picture. I really love her. you will see that I must be a guy who has a lot of friends, even though I don't talk to all of them. You will see that I am, in fact, a pastor here. I'm not just some random guy who got up on the stage and started talking. You will see that a couple weeks ago, I went to dinner with Sam's sister and her husband. You'll see as you scroll down that I was really not pleased with Disney Plus Star Wars series, The Book of Boba Fett. I thought it would be a lot better. You will know a lot about me, but you won't know me. But if you allow me to invite you to my office to grind some freshly roasted coffee beans, to brew you those freshly ground roasted coffee beans and give you a nice cup of coffee, even if you don't like it, I do in fact have tea in my office, and there's a tap for water. You will begin to have a conversation with me. You won't just learn about me, you'll get to know who I am. But even more than that, if you allow me to invite you over to my house for dinner, you will meet my wife, you'll see those dried flowers, you'll see the crumbly one by the window, you'll get to pet my dog, he might jump on you and lick your face as well, but we'll try and stop him from doing that. You'll meet my cat, you'll get to see how we live. You'll get to know me. But even more than that, this is an open invitation, but if you were to come and live in my house, you would really get to know me and my life. You would become a part of our life. You would simply not just know about us. You would know us. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, if you remain in and my words remain in you. Jesus isn't saying flirt with me. I don't just want to have a cup of coffee with you. If I hadn't gone further from that green tea that I gave Sam, I would never have married her. If I just sticked to drinking coffee with her, which she would hate, she doesn't want coffee. This is what Jesus is saying. I don't just want to have a cup of coffee with you. I want to live in your home with you and work with you. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. This connection is an intimate one, and this intimate connection is a relationship. When he says after this, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you, he's not saying, if you want to go to Disneyland, if that's what you wish, it'll be done for you. Oh, great. I really want a Tesla X. That's what I wish for. It'll be done for me. Jesus says it right there, doesn't he? produce these things. In our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our character, we begin to grow into Jesus Christ. It's kind of like what I tell the youth on Tuesday nights at youth group. It's as if we're cups, and God is pouring into our cups, and we begin to overflow. That intimate connection and relationship with God doesn't just stay inside of us. It begins to overflow because God begins to pour into it. This is what David is getting at in Psalm 23, verse 5, when he says, "My cup overflows." Because God is filling it. Or it's kind of like this. Your life is a bunch of buckets. You have the peace and the hope and the love and the joy about that prayer, but it is indeed there as well. And God begins to fill these buckets. And these buckets begin to overflow into each other. And then they begin to overflow into the ground. And then they begin to overflow into the room, and so on and so forth. You get the picture. This is what Jesus is saying, is your wishes begin to focus on Him and draw you closer to Him. And so when you wish and you ask, it is done. But the most important bucket here is the bucket of love. And this brings us to our final week. This relationship that is based on an intimate connection is one rooted in love. Jesus says in verses 9, 12, 15, and 17, we see in this passage, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. I have called you friends. This is my commandment. Love each other." See what Jesus was saying there? Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And then he calls you friend. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It is rooted in this love. We are able to have a connection to Jesus because he first loved us. And his love, as we're connected to him, begins to overflow into our lives. And our lives begin to overflow that love, which is the source from Jesus, into the lives around us. This is what Jesus says when he says, "My commandment is to love each other. Let my love flow through you and grow you on my grapevine." It all comes down to love and grace. And so this morning we've looked at these three leaves. The first, we must have a connection to Jesus, the source of our life. If we don't, we wither, we crumble, we turn into raisins. This connection